L is for the way.
That's who you think it is. The and Grimace me. Mug. The Hello Kitty keychain. Barbie herself. For a limited time, your favorite McDonald's collectibles filled with memories and magic are now on collectible cups. Get one of six when you order a collector's meal at McDonald's with your choice of a Big Mac or 10-piece McNuggets. Come get your cup while you still can. And participate in McDonald's for a limited time while supplies last.
Hello, America. It's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you don't have Consumer Cellular yet, now is the perfect time to switch and save. For a limited time, new customers can get wireless service for as low as $15 a month for your first year. Yep, the same exact nationwide coverage as the leading carriers for $15 a month for an entire year. What are you waiting for? Call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com and use code RADIO15.
See ConsumerCellular.com/FirstYear15 for promotional details.
Thanks for listening to CarCast on Podcast One.
Do you want to be great at reading body language, developing persuasion and influence, as well as master rapport and social interaction? What if I told you that you would learn from top performers like NBA superstar Shaquille O'Neal, former CIA director Michael Hayden, and brilliant thinkers like Dirty Jobs Mike Rowe? Take a minute right now and subscribe to the Art of Charm podcast with me, Jordan Harbinger, and you'll hear how I pull out the secret psychology, life experience, and wisdom that can only be learned from them. You'll hear Shaq talk about how to manage your career and how to know who to trust when everyone's out to get something from you. You'll discover how to think critically from Bill Nye and Neil deGrasse Tyson, and even how Tony Hawk's life as a skateboard icon will influence how you think about your career and relationships in a whole new way. This show is for you if you want to outcompete, outperform, and outthink everyone around you, and it's the only place you'll get practical, applicable strategies from every single episode. Since you're all about learning from the absolute best, download and subscribe for free right now and upgrade your brain 4 times a week at podcastone.com or in the Podcast One app.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get it on. Mandate. Get it on. And welcome to CarCast. I'm Adam Kroll. It's Matt, the moderator, DeAndrea over there.
Hello.
Always excited to see Bodie Stroud in the studio.
Yeah, it's been a minute.
Hey, guys. Yeah, been a while.
Bodie Stroud Industries is where you go. BodieStroud.com.
Yeah.
Working on all kinds of good stuff. It's done. Wow. Now, a lot of cars for us. I mean, it's done a Miura, it's got a 400 Lambo, it's done a few Paul Newman race cars. Now a Hino truck, which is cool.
I'm excited about the Hino. It's going to be fun. Yeah.
So we should get into the Hino. We should get into talking about doing a SEMA build. This is something I brought up on my show, and we never really got into it here. And I'm interested from Bodie's perspective, because Bodie does a lot of cool stuff with engines and engine swaps. And
it's chassis and suspension. This is your first time displaying at SEMA this past year, right?
Yeah.
Like as your own booth. So
yep,
we got to talk about that too. New BSI Performance, new division of his.
In your mind, when you're doing an engine swap, do you have rules? Like, I know you have some cool stuff. Like, I know you have, like, a Ford GT motor sitting around your shop, and I think you had one of the 4-cam motors or 2-cam motors, 429?
427.
427. Yeah. I always screw that one up.
No, but I've had 429s, too.
Okay, so some cool, some really cool lumps.
Uh-huh.
And in your mind, do they need to go in a Mustang or a Ford product?
I'll do what anybody pays me to do.
Good man.
I am a whore.
So I was saying that I wanted to do a Z car, and I liked the idea of the Z had a straight six in it, and I liked the straight six configuration. They have an interesting sound to them. You know, different engines have different sounds, but the straight six has a kind of a cool sound. If you ever think of like an old Mercedes, they have a very distinctive sound, like a 60s straight six Ferrari, Mercedes. I had this notion of like a straight six engine swap, and then I started thinking about twin cams and what Japan makes and this, that, and the other. And then I thought, oh my God, my favorite engine of all time is just that 4.2 liter straight Jag motor.
Oh, yeah.
They have these great.
It's such a good looking motor, though.
It's good looking. They paint the head gold. the cams are really far apart. Like there's some engines where they're twin overhead cams, but the cams are close enough so it could just kind of fit under a normal valve cover. But these are like one over here and one over there. They have this polished aluminum.
Yeah.
I have a picture of one here of the polished aluminum valve covers. And then the thing that's much cooler that you don't get with the Z engine is the intake. There's that gold.
Yeah, there's the head is gold, no, but the cam covers cool looking are polished. Engine. Yeah. Yeah, it's cool.
Really
right?
nice looking engine.
And the header is on one side and the intake is on the other. So you get to go look at a beautiful header on one side and a beautiful like triple Weber whatever or single throttle body, you know, individual throttle body with trumpets.
Yeah.
You know, and I was in love with this idea. And then I got to the shop and I laid it on mild-mannered Sean back there. And he just sort of quietly said, I was thinking about this engine. And he pointed at the...
the one we have.
The V8.
Well, that's no fun. That's boring.
No. But wait, you got to hear about the engine.
Well, yeah. Chris will show you a picture of that engine.
Oh, okay.
Now that,
that's a nice-looking engine, too.
That is a... V8, it's a Japanese V8 engine that was not brought to the United States.
Mm-hmm.
It was back. I'm trying to think, Max Zapata. You're going to have to look it up. We can take a guess. The first V8 in the United States would have been, the first sort of Datsun V8 would have been in an Infiniti. Q, whatever, circa
45, something like that, whatever.
I would have no idea.
Yeah. It'd have to be like in 1989 or something.
Yeah, I meant Q45.
Oh, Q45, yeah, in like the late 80s, right?
When,
there were no V8 anything Japanese, not Nissan before that, right? So this engine is from 1979, 1980. And it's the lower end of a big flagship sedan in Japan that they never brought over here. And then Bob Sharp and his engine builder just did all bespoke custom cast intakes and mechanical injection, a big plenum on top, and a twin turbo and 933 horsepower. Out of what would have been like probably a 4.4, like a small displacement.
Yeah.
I mean, if people 60 cubic inches per, you're talking about, you know, like a 250 size cubic inches and gobs of horsepower. And then I thought, well, actually, Sean thought, wouldn't this be the engine for a Z car? Because it's Japanese.
Yeah.
It's super rare.
It wasn't a Z car. And there's only three of them on the planet, and I have them.
That is true. That's kind of like that 420, that Boss 494 we did for that owner, the Mario Andretti. It was built for Mario Andretti's Can-Am car back in 69. Well, there was only 10 of them made. And, well, we put one in that Mustang, the real thing.
Yeah.
So it was so rare. There's only 10 of them. And the guy that I built it for had three of them. So we had to build this thing from scratch. It's all aluminum.
Oh yeah.
So well, I'm curious.
What did you do? Like I know the Can-Am cars of the day would be big blocks with the crazy Hillborn induction with the huge stacks coming off them. What did you do for induction on that car?
Well, it had a stacked induction on it already, so it was all mechanical. And what we did is we sent it out to Hensley, I believe it was. Yeah. And they made it all electronic, fuel injected. So they drilled it, put the injectors in. We made it all electronic. You still had the mechanical butterflies in it. But just that intake alone, the owner's son just bought one online. He saw it on eBay. $25,000 he paid for it.
And then you're in short velocity stacks.
Yeah. Just got the short velocity stacks.
Rob was calling around, I guess, Tom was calling around on this engine because they tried to get this mechanical fuel injection, this whole pump deal. And they said there's one for the naturally aspirated engine, one for the turbo. And the guy said he doesn't have the turbo one, but the naturally aspirated one because it's rare is $19,000.
Yeah.
He said is probably like $21,000.
Yeah. Oh, I believe it.
And so now we're...
Oh, there's an internet security alert or something just popped up. That's weird. All right. Yeah, there's too many. There's too much going on. I got the Amber Alert driving today.
Yeah, so did I.
I didn't get that.
I got one in the middle of the if your ringer was off, I don't know, you don't get it. And I got one in the middle of the night, like 1 a.m., my ringer was on. My phone started screaming. I thought my place was on fire again.
Yeah, well, you know what? You should be able to sign up for something.
That was me. I'm on the deep web trying to find this V8.
You got to look for Nissan or Infiniti.
First gen Q45's had them, but I'm trying to see if there's anything earlier.
No, I don't think anything earlier. Yeah.
What year do you think that was?
88? 89? 88? I feel like somewhere in the mid or later 80s.
But as he's looking up, I'm curious to dive into this engine and just kind of see what's going on in there and what kind of pistons
it
has.
No, that would be cool,
and, you know, what compression was it and displacement. Like, people ask all the time, where did it come from? Where's the block from? And we haven't really spent time of, like, trying to find numbers on the block and doing some research to see what it was. I mean, we have the pictures. We see where it is in the race car.
You have two of them, right?
There's three.
Three?
There's one in the car and there's two.
I restored or put together.
That's one. You work with Tom.
One of them, yeah. And we put it together. And I did a little research, but I can't recall. I think that was like,
did you pull the heads off five years ago?
I don't think we did.
I don't think so either.
I think we left it alone. We wanted to make it look good for display because it wasn't going anything.
Yeah.
So.
I think you guys powder coated the valve covers and the intake
and just cleaned it up really nice.
89 was the first gen Q45. Okay. So this was 10 years before a Japanese V8 was on this soil, as far as I know. And, you know, they cheated. I mean, you know, you can't put a V8 in your, you know, in your straight six car. I mean, as far as the rules go, and when you're racing, they didn't like it. But because Paul Newman was driving it, they gave him a little slack, you know.
There was a class made for it. It was the IMSA, I think it was called GTX, which was like Group 5 rules, but for turbo cars.
Yeah, well, the 935 turbos were whooping up on everybody, so this was their attempt to try to compete with the 935s.
Sure.
And the car won a few races, and Paul drove it for a long time, but it ended up braking a little too much. I mean, twin turbos, no computers, you know, mechanical injection, you could see. So when I bought the car, you know, there's two types of car sales. There's here's the car, that's all you get, and then here's the car, and here's everything that ever was bolted onto this car and would have been bolted onto this car. And this car came with, I have two engines and enough to build a third. Also, just cams and rods and weird intakes that have been cast but not finished, so it's like
I think we have cylinder heads for it that are untouched. They were cast but not ported or machined yet. And by the way, if you want to hear it, we fired it up a while ago, and on my Motorator YouTube channel there's the video of a 2-minute parking lot video of firing it up in the race car.
The one that works in the race car. The race car. You know what you have to figure out?
I took like 20 minutes to figure out how to start it, warm it up, and it didn't come with directions. And this car is probably the most mechanically complex car you have over there. It's just so much going on.
Have we worked on that one? We worked on that one.
I don't know that you did, but it was photographed.
No,
and
you
put
haven't.
In,
no, not that one.
It's in Forza Motorsport when they came out.
Oh,
we
okay,
took
yeah.
all the no. body panels off. And just all on the sides and in the back where there's vents, there's just coolers and you know, diff coolers, and it's transaxle and inboard rear brakes, and it's a crazy, crazy car.
Let me just say this. It was a weird time. So back before this, everything was just sort of straightforward, mechanical, but it wasn't a lot of bells and whistles. There wasn't that much to do. It was just pistons, engine, carburetor. Then at a certain point, they started going, what if we start putting turbos and intercoolers and all that kind of stuff? Except for they didn't really have the technology to support it. They had the idea of like turbos and intercoolers and all kinds of lines and hoses and everything. So then it became like, if you ever look at early space shuttles or modules or anything that went out of space, like you can't believe all the tubes and hoses and everything because we didn't have a computer, so everything was still mechanical. So this car is crazy because it had all the technology, but all the technology was mechanical, and not computer driven. So whatever you could fit into a wristwatch now took up the whole car. And there's yeah. just hoses and vents and coolers. And yeah, you got it now, Max Pat? There we go. You can look at the video, what? The CarCast Show, CarCast the
Car
Show.
CarCastShow.com.
CarCastShow.com. It's a crazy.
Sounds good.
It's a crazy yeah, right? labyrinth yeah. of
sounds turbos different. On it.
Yeah. Probably throw some revs into it at some
there
point.
There is, yeah.
It's just such a mess. The craziest part about this car is the rear end. There's like, it's a transaxle car with just inboard brakes. Transaxle with inboard, like the craziest dry sump system in the back of the car. It, I mean, it's the most complicated. I couldn't imagine building this car.
It's incredibly complex to maintain as yeah. a race car. That's just why they it just wasn't sustainable. Is there's just so much stuff going on that thing, and no electronics to diagnose it.
Yeah, but believe it or not, that was easier times. I came from those times.
Yeah.
All right, you can go check it out online, but it's the craziest. I'm gonna just go out there and say it's like it's probably the craziest race car of its era. Like there's stuff. The only thing crazier, but I don't even know if it's crazier, is the Porsche 917-30 Can-Am car.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
with the flat 12 twin turbo, like turn it up to 1500 horsepower, craziness. That thing's pretty crazy, but in a way, this may be crazier in its own
Japanese
way.
Just the way it was
way.
Done and the yeah. way it was built. But now, like, a crew chief can sit in his office with a laptop and diagnose the car that's outside and running yeah. and just tell people through a headset, you know, go over there and turn this or do that. But he doesn't even get up out of his desk. You yeah, know, yeah, it yeah. just sits there and
so,
tunes.
Bodie, I know you do a lot of – Bodie does a lot of cars. He does – so I just saw Tim Allen yesterday. I know you got some Tim Allen cars. You got
oh, yeah.
What's Taylor – what's his Taylor Lautner's yeah, car? Yeah, yeah. Truck. A
couple of them.
A couple trucks. You – so is there – do you have something you want to build? Like, so if you talk to, Jonathan Ward, he'll tell you. Like, he wants to get a Zagato Jag, whatever,
yeah,
something.
Or
like, do something.
Or something.
Yeah, he'll tell you. Like, there's something out there. So actually, I was picturing the 60s Jag platform and going, that is a great – you don't see him at SEMA or anything, yeah. but that's a great platform. Like, someone should go Singer Porsche.
Foose is that. Building a Jag right now. He's
oh, is
like
he?
Like an E-Type or something.
Oh, really? Yeah. Well, yeah. there you go. Yeah, yeah. I was wrong. All right.
That's hard for me because I don't have a lot of time to sit around and dream up all this stuff. I really don't. I'm out there wrenching 12, 14 hours a day. So how these people can think of that,
yeah.
I'm just – like happy when some crazy idea comes into the shop. I'm like, yeah, let's do it. You know what I mean? I can't think of.
Well, you
I
know
mean, there
you
is
need?
Things I would like to build, but
you need
so much of it.
You gotta get a big dog, and you gotta take it for long walks,
yep.
like three times a week. And when you're walking, that's when you're going. What if I put that Jag motor in?
Yeah. You got to get away from the welder.
No, I do.
You know, 4.2. I go 4.2. I'll punch that thing out to 4.4. Get some bottom
you know,
end out
if,
of it.
If I do get some spare time, which is hardly... I mean, I just went off a 10-week spurt. I mean, 7 days a week, 15 hours a day to make it to SEMA, all that stuff. No downtime. This last weekend was my first weekend off. Saturday and Sunday, I had it off and... painted my kid's room and everything else like that. But so I still really didn't have that much downtime. But if I ever do, when I have like a day or two and I'm laying around and watching TV, oh man, that is, you're actually right. That's when the wheels start turning.
Yeah.
So for you, we got the Hino to talk about as well.
Yeah.
Because you got a lot of range, Bodie Stroud, because I gave you a Lamborghini SV and a Lamborghini. I got a lot of range.
Yeah, I can always count on you to bring the weirdest stuff, yeah. Man. Like, oh, okay, yeah, let's do it. You know, but I love that.
A Lambo SV and then a Hino
and four
truck.
4 months to do it.
Yeah.
And a crazy Hino, which is the first Hino. Now, Hino is a huge truck company, and they're probably bigger in Europe, but in Japan, but you'll probably see a lot of Hinos out here. They have a big factory in
Long Beach.
Oh, then there's also one in North Carolina or something. Hey, Max Bata, find out where the big Hino plant is. But either way, this is the first Hino that was brought to the United States. Yeah. So they brought it over here.
Explain what it looks like, though.
It looks like a box truck. It looks like
a U-Haul almost.
Yeah, like a U-Haul with a sort of flatter, snub nose kind of cab. It's right-hand drive. I talked to Pete Brock It's Brock's. It was his transport for. There's pictures of it. I'm sure he transported his BRE Roadsters in it. He probably also transported his 510s in there. People used to use like school buses and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Like I'd talk to these old time mechanics and we took a school bus, we cut the back end out, ramps, and the back part was the car, and then we'd sleep in the front part, and they just drive across country for the next race.
Yeah.
But the Hino had a big block Cadillac in it. And I asked him about this, the whole Max Bolchowski part of it, and he said, they moved to West Virginia. The Long Beach plant closed in 07, and they moved to West Virginia. That's according to Chris Max Panova. So he said, at least Pete Brock said, we put a big Cadillac engine in it just to get the
lower end. You think like a little diesel engine or something?
It went through like three different motors.
Yeah.
It went to Hollywood Motors at one time.
Well, maybe that's the ones that
put. Yes. Yeah. And they put in a motor there, a different one. I don't recall if it was diesel or if it was gas, but then it flipped again and somebody put this other Cadillac. It was a Cadillac. They did put a Cadillac motor in it, gasoline. When he owned it, they had Hollywood Motors do it, but they sold it again, and then they put something completely different in it.
But to answer your question, Matt, it must have started life with like some weird five-cylinder diesel, and they got that out and went with some big block action in there. And it's a cool piece in that it's the first one, but it's also just a kind of funky piece, and in general, you know, the vintage motorsports thing has gone through the roof. And then so when something goes through the roof, it's always kind of the trickle down effect. So like it's that Mercedes Gullwing versus the 190. Mm-hmm. So it's like the Gullwing, once the Gullwing goes over $1 million and then the convertible 300 goes over $1 million, you go, well, look at that 190 over there. If you kind of squint, and you stand far enough back, it almost kind of looks like the 300, the convertible. So you go, how much is that one? And someone goes, that's $70,000. And you go, well, shit, I'll get that. I'll get for $70,000. But that thing won't stay at $70,000 for that long because there's a lot of people squinting and having cocktails. Yeah. And so those things just pop up. And so the thing about like the race cars, as soon as the race cars get millions of bucks and people start looking around like, well, what about the transports? How much are those for? And now the transports are something. And the total cool idea is to finish the Hino and then go out to like Laguna Seca and roll the BRE car out of it like Pete Brock and company would have done back in the day.
Yeah, it'll be fun, and it's a funky looking truck. It's going to be so fun to see all done because
it
it's
is so
cool weird
looking. Because it's coming together right now. You know, we've finished paint. It's really starting to come together. So you can you're starting to see, and you're like, oh man, this thing is going to look so cool going down the road.
Adam's idea of like hauler / kind of hangout party vehicle is the guys from Clarion are going to come up next week. They're going to stop by and they're going to bring you a bunch of gear.
Awesome.
Well, how cool would it be to have like a killer stereo and, you know, a flat panel TV and like an awning that like came out and a kegerator or whatever, and you could pull up to the track and like after you qualified or whatever, everyone could gather around and fire up the blender and
there you
crank
go.
Up the tunes.
There you go.
I'm having my next birthday in that thing.
Yeah. It'd be cool. The other thing, though, that we have
it's
to...
It's like an adult Chuck E. Cheese.
We have to balance this out, but that'd be fun Disco because ball. They have a it has a big side door that opens up and the back doors open up you can go from the cab into the box in the back, and it'd just be a total conversation piece. But there's a little practical part, which is Nate at the other shop who's making all the documentaries, he's like, we need a van. And I was like, why? Because we got
get his own van.
All this equipment and C-stands and all this stuff. Yeah. When we go film stuff, we can't throw everything in the back of Nate's Acura. So I said, well, we shouldn't get a van because I got a Hino coming.
Yeah.
And we can use the Hino to go transport all the equipment, the lighting, and all the whatever, and we go set up and shoot whatever.
Okay, except now... You know, Nate's not going to drive it. One of his guys over there is going to drive it. And those are the guys that's back into everything. Now you have the first Hino truck restored by Bodie Stroud and it's right hand drive.
Yeah.
Get the van.
Get the van. Just lease a fucking Transit for $299 a month or $100 something.
Yeah, probably do.
We can fix it. If they hit a corner, we can fix it. It's easier than restoring it. Trust me. This thing is, like I said, Adam's always bringing me the unique things. There's no parts for this thing.
No.
Now we just started doing all this work to the front bumper that was in the box. So we're doing all it, and it's bent and dented, and so we're straightening it and heating it and this and that. And I happen to just be scrolling through pictures for some reason looking for something.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, man, that's not the front bumper for this thing. So now what do I do? So now I've been calling every dealer or Hino junkyard from here to Connecticut. You know what I mean? And looking for the right front bumper.
Do you? So let's...
that's going to be weird.
Let's try to figure this one out.
There's only a handful of pictures of this thing online, like in the Pete Brock days. So
It's like a K. I think it's a Hino, a 1965 Hino KM or KW 300 or 310. And it's hard to distinguish because they all kind of look similar. It's a 300
or 400.
I
feel like a guy like Ed Justice Jr. has pictures of this thing from back in the day because he's got pictures of every vintage racing event ever.
Right, because he was a photographer.
I have a picture of it. Yeah. At the track with the car, the Roadster next to it that you have. And it has a different front bumper. You can see it's a different. The one that was in the back of the truck is like two feet tall. That one's like.
I think there's been changes made. You know, I think if you get like a stock Hino bumper, it might not be the right thing.
Well, the engine. Let's talk. Well, I'll cue you guys up. We're doing an engine swap. And we're doing a transmission swap. And I want to know if you guys can explain, especially Bodie, tell me about the engine swap, the transmission swap, and what we're putting in there to make it more modern and more drivable. But first, I'll tell you about Simply Safe. I understand why someone may be put off with the home security system. Slimy sales guys, long-term contracts, expensive installations. Why bother? You should go with Simply Safe. So easy these days. Go online. They'll have the security system sent to your home. Peel and stick. Put it right up. Get it up and running in under an hour. No drilling. No pulling wires. The batteries last up to 10 years. So you go, well, no wires. How's that work? Batteries. Battery technology, man. Top-of-the-line protection, no long-term contracts, no hidden fees. You just order it online, set it up in an hour, and your home and family's protected 24/7. And you can get 10% off right now. Go to simplysafe.com/Adam3. That's T-H-R-E-E. Spell it out. simplysafe.com/Adam3 and get the 10% off. Good company. Better product, Simply Safe. So, Bodie, we're doing an engine swap and a transmission swap, right?
Yes. We're doing the LS3 6.2 with the 525 horsepower one.
Didn't I tell you I thought it was that one?
Yeah. It's the bigger horsepower.
It's like the same thing, but with like hotter cams or something, right? But it's still right out of their catalog.
Same displacement,
Chevy performance catalog.
Yep. And I just went with the bigger horsepower. The motor that was in it, the Cadillac, and I forget which one it was, but I did the research on that, and it was like 380.
Yeah.
So I'm figuring bigger is better.
And right. probably 100 pounds heavier. The Cadillac engine.
100 pounds. Exactly. Right. So I tried to keep the weight down. We're doing the Turbo 400, but it's a built Turbo 400. It's meant to handle 800 horsepower.
We're going to drag race the Hino.
Yeah. And it's got the gear vendors on it. So it's really like an 8-speed transmission.
Oh, nice. Yeah. So when you're cruising that thing at 60 miles an hour on the freeway, you'll be turning what RPM approximately?
I'm hoping 60 miles an hour, you're going to be at about 1800 RPM.
Nice. And the whole underside, the drum brakes all the way around, everything looks like leaf springs. Everything looks good. It looks like you took everything apart and just rebuilt it and powder coated it.
I put new bushings, repowder coated everything, went through the brake system. I mean, it's a good brake system. You and I were talking about putting like a new Ford F-250 or F-350 rear axle disc brakes. But it would have been a huge undertaking. It would have been a lot of extra work, a lot of extra money spending when I didn't feel it needed it. And plus, this will keep the vintage aspect of it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's a cool piece. And it's gonna be fun. But it'll be fun. It'd be fun to like take the thing to like, I don't know, like the tailgate at a UCLA game at the Rose Bowl or something like that. Like it'll be seriously, a fun kind of party mobile.
We're gonna tailgate it in the parking lot.
People are gonna be like, "What the heck is that thing, man?" I mean, it looks cool.
How big of a car do you think it fits? Because we talk about the Roadster and the 510.
The Roadster, and the 510.
That's it. It doesn't fit.
Yeah. If you guys are partying in it and I show up and I say, "Hey guys, can I come in for a drink?" I'm going to be on my knees. So that doesn't sound right either.
Yeah, that's weird, but that's kind of how we party.
So I'm not getting in the back with you guys. I'll hang out under the awning. The Kegerator.
I think we could get one of the wider cars in there.
See, I knew that's what I was going for.
It's about width.
You could get a wider car. You just couldn't get a taller car.
Yeah, I don't have anything tall. It's all wide. Yeah. So I think you could probably
fit the Lambos in there.
I threw a tape on it at some point.
Yeah, we did. You and I were both kind of measuring it out.
And I think
we need
you
to take the Hino to Pebble Beach to debut a Lamborghini.
Seriously. I mean, it would be.
Yeah, and then you park the Hino at the track where everyone would love it.
Yeah, I mean, it belonged to Peter Brock, and now it's Adams. I mean, the thing's got a lot of history. It's the first Hino in America.
I can't wait to show it to Pete. He's such a nice guy, and he's going to be excited about it. And then he's going to come over and tell us stories about the thing.
Oh, he's going to love it.
So, Bodie, what else? What all? So, I mean, your shop, I mean, you do a lot of stuff, but you also do like a lot of rescue work. Like people bring you stuff that other people just couldn't finish or wouldn't finish, you know, like these projects have been sitting around for years and not getting anything done. They have to take it somewhere. Then for you, you have to undo a bunch of stuff that other people did. It was funny. I was at your shop a few weeks back. I was with one of your guys and I was looking at some like Funky Town exhaust. And I was looking at some exhaust that had some I think they ran it like through an A-arm or something. Like it was a weird. It was a weird choice. And I was standing and I was just looking at it and I was going, this seems like a weird choice for Bodie to make.
Yeah.
And I went, it doesn't seem. It was sort of custom. It had a flex. Had like a flex sleeve in it, like a braided flex sleeve for the exhaust.
I didn't make that.
I know.
And
I
just get that clear right now. That's not you.
I kept looking at it, and I was like, it's pretty custom.
Well, I mean, it was unique to the guy that built it.
It was unique.
You're right.
I would have gone that direction. No. And I was looking at it, and I was thinking, is this a car that was in your shop that your guys were working on? So I would have thought that was your guy's work.
No, but it came from another shop.
I just kept staring at it going,
it was there for paint. That's all.
So I started to I poked around a little. I said, yeah. That's an interesting choice, running the exhaust through the A-arm. And your guy went, yeah, that wasn't us.
That wasn't us.
I was like, good.
Well, that's what sucks. Sometimes people come in, and they instantly are drawn to the car that we didn't do.
Yeah.
That just got there from
because
some other
it
shop.
Just doesn't look
and
right.
And I got to say, no. Don't, no. Come over here. Let me show you what we built. Yeah. You know what I mean? And what we've done from the ground up.
Yeah, there's a lot of roaming around
the
shop.
Yeah, we do. We get a lot of, over the years, I've done a lot of finishes from other shop. Like the car we just took to SEMA, that car was at some other shop for almost 4 years, and he was $150,000 into it. And I'll say it, the guy was headed nowhere. When I got it, it was still a pile of junk. It was headed nowhere. So now we just debuted it at SEMA.
I went. Can we find some pictures of that car? I don't think I got a chance. I didn't see that car at SEMA, did I?
Probably
I was there
not.
For about 10 minutes.
That was
the Bel Air?
Is it the one?
Yeah, the Bel Air, the convertible
at the
Bel Air.
MagnaFlow booth?
At the MagnaFlow booth.
I did
booth.
See it, yeah. Yeah, I did.
There
go
it is,
see
yeah.
It.
There it is, right there. Yeah,
that looks great. Red on black.
Oh, it's amazing.
The engine's fantastic.
Intake's awesome.
Yes.
Yeah, we're looking at it. It looks amazing.
Thank
Show
you.
Me that engine again. That red and black. Red and black, you cannot go wrong with
no,
red
you
and
can't.
Black.
And that's kind of bright looking right there in the picture. It's almost like a kind of a blood red. It's almost like your interior in the Lamborghini. Yeah. Same exact coloring.
The that's the cross ram injection.
Yeah,
old
it's a Gen
looking.
V. It's European, so you don't see too many of them.
But it's an injection, right? It's
yeah.
not
yeah.
carbureted.
Stacked injection.
I like when you do that
is
stuff.
It,
you grab the funky intake.
Oh, I love
and stuff.
It.
Yeah.
I love it. It's a challenge. You know what I mean? But, it can be challenging on the wallet, too, because you got to make them run right. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's hard to, when you're doing this unique stuff, it's a challenge all the way around.
Do you still get Ray to try to help? Tune
Dino Ray
No, Ray helps me all the time. He's
I just
been
talked to him
on
the phone the other day.
No, Ray's great. Ray's always helped me with stuff, and we're getting ready to build him a chassis for his Mustang. So.
Yeah, he's such a patient guy.
He is,
for a guy that just like you, just busy all the time. There's always something, and every time you go in there, they're like, "This is wrong." You know, like,
but you can read
wrong.
It on his face.
Yeah,
see,
but he's just.
I have the same look. People are like, "You okay?"
Yeah, but he's he's got the look, but his voice is always the same, and he's just kind of like,
"Well, you try and this is our business. It's supposed to be fun, But sometimes when you're stressed out of your mind and your hair is sticking up to the side, you got this crazy look in your eye. It means that I'm really deep into this project and I'm feeling the pressure and I got to finish it.
Bodie's also got a cool 21 window bus.
23,
23.
Yeah.
That's the most of all windows.
Is that all the windows?
That is all the windows, yes. With the rag top, it's a 56, 23 window microbus.
That was your dad's, right?
No, it was actually a buddy of mine's growing up in high school.
Oh, I knew it went way back.
Yeah, it did.
Those things
are
200 grand now.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah. Well, that one guy's just went across Barrett Jackson for 300 grand. 21 window.
Nice.
Really?
300 grand.
Is yours finished?
Is mine finished?
Yeah.
It's so far from 300 grand. It's like right now it's worth $150. It looks like I pulled it out of the Pacific Ocean and then sandblasted it.
That guy, we're living in such a bizarre time. Like, could you imagine telling, the 70s hippies guys who are basically using those things just to kind of flop in and get high and stuff like 300 grand
right
for this because I think you could say I think if you pulled up in 1974 and you showed them a Ferrari Daytona, and at the time the Ferrari Daytona was worth 75 grand or 85 grand or something, you go 300 grand for this car or $1 million this car, you go all right, I can go in 2017, why not? I believe, but you show them a VW bus, they'd be like, no way, my house is $60,000.
Oh yeah,
there's no way.
Do you know how much smoke is in the headliner of this van right now?
I'm building a Ghia right now for my daughter, and those are going up as well, and I got it for free. So we put a new floor in it, painted it, and hopefully one day if I hang on to it, it'll be worth $200,000 or $300,000.
The Ghias have
going the safety route with his daughter.
The Ghias have an interesting shape to them.
They do.
But then here's the question: so Bodie's got his 23 window, and he's got a modern day diesel VW diesel right motor in the back.
No, well the one I'm thinking of doing that. The one I have the diesel in is that double cab, the truck.
Oh,
at
that's
my
the
shop.
Double cab. That's
and
right.
I have, that's the
that's
one
right.
you've seen.
So the kind of the question then becomes, as these things start going through the roof price wise, everything has to have an eye toward either originality or the ability to swap it back if one wants to at some point. But we can't get out the Sawzall and start cutting out firewalls and stuff and shoving, you know, small block Chevys and stuff. We have to be able to, like, bolt it up, unbolt it, and if it ever goes to Barrett Jackson, bolt the 1600
and
in there.
You could
whatever.
Do that with this. I did have to do some cutting, but very little cutting, and I've saved all the pieces. So if somebody had to, they could just weld it back in, paint it. You never know that it was taken out. It's bolted right up to a freeway flyer. So
where do you think the market is going? I'm happy to see that, you know, I could remember once a million years ago, I think Dexter Holland from The Offspring.
Oh, yeah, you tried hooking me up with him on a Mustang.
He had a notchback Mustang that he had over at California Customs or something, or I don't even know what it was, but he was like, so I got $150,000 into it, and it was like not close to anything. Yeah. And although Dexter does drive around in a modern custom van.
Like
you know those commercials where it's
cool.
Like Tony, Tony over at Costa Mesa Custom, you know,
a
modern day, not ironically, just a modern. That's his ride. His ride's like seriously, like captain's chairs and a table in the back.
Yeah,
and
that's awesome.
He drives that again. Not it's not ironic,
but
it's not
like
rock
just
and
a
roll.
Van.
It's just like
yeah,
I want a nice living room to drive around in.
There you go.
It's a custom modern van,
but not like the Mercedes one. That's really nice.
No, like Dodge, but
okay. But they want to go back. That's probably what he toured in the beginning, and they want to go back to those days where they could barely afford gas, and that's what they drove. This old van, rape van, and.
I had to have the sad discussion with him about 5-7 years ago with his notchback Mustang that, like, he wasn't going to get his $150 back out of this thing. Like, when that thing was done, it was going to be worth $40,000, you know? Like, it's not a good plan to get a platform that's not great, jump off, go deep, $200,000-$300,000 into this thing, and then after the divorce, it's $45,000. You throw your guitar in the back, you get an extra $1,500 if the band signs it, you know.
Yeah, that's how it is.
But
some tickets.
I feel like we're turning the corner now. I feel like if they want a Ring Brothers car, or like
some of the older
singer Porsches, Ford Crankin.
It depends on who makes it. It does. It's funny because I don't think any of my customers have sold any of their cars. So
well,
I know they've been offered money, ridiculous money.
Well, that's great.
But I mean, the Starliner, when we won SEMA, some guy went straight up to the owner and offered him $750,000.
Wow.
We built it for $475,000.
Should have said yes and built another one.
Well, he said, I already have $750,000, and I'm the only one that has this car, so why would I get rid of it? He still has it, and it's like his trophy car sitting in his garage, and, it's...
Well, that's great, and it's great. It's great for the hobby, because in the past, it was just kind of a conceit where you'd take a bunch of cash, you'd give it to the Ring Brothers or Bodie or whatever, and like, it wasn't a great investment, but you got your car.
Sure.
Like, but now, and I think everyone feels that way, whether it's a car or a house or an old guitar or something, like you go, I want it, but I'd also like it to be, like, go up in value or be an investment too.
Yeah.
And now you kind of have your cake and eat it too, because I don't know what a Ring Brothers car goes for, but I bet if you gave them $300,000 and they built you a car, it'd be worth $300,000.
Yeah. And it's like anything. When I was younger, I did freestyle. I did pool riding, ramp riding, freestyle, ground tricks. Started competing a little bit. Started breaking a lot of bones. But I left the hobby. I left the hobby almost 28 years ago. And lately, because of Instagram and stuff like that, I've been seeing all these bicycles and all the guys that I used to ride with and the professional guys that used to do it back in the day. And now, for some reason, I've been hunting bicycle frames and bicycles, and it's like came out of nowhere because I haven't been into it, but some of those are going up as well. It's crazy.
Maxipan.
Anything old is becoming
that's
cool
what
again.
See, that's what I'm getting old. At. It seems like anything old is going up in value.
So you got like a Schwinn apple crate or whatever.
Yeah.
Original like Oakley grips without the ends busted off.
I have an original SEPK Ripper, and I mean, the thing's worth about $2,000 right now.
You know what's crazy? What's crazy? Mini bikes, go-karts.
Yeah.
Now you see... When you start opening up these auction pages and you go, oh, what's RM or Gooding doing in Scottsdale? There'll always be a couple little mini kids' cars in there, too.
Yeah.
It's like $30,000 to $70,000. Like, what?
The kids' cars?
That's a bed.
Seriously.
It's weird because you're looking at all these cars and you do this like double take where you go, Ferrari Pontoon Testarossa? It's a $30,000. That must be.
Oh, yeah.
Oh no, it's miniature.
It's miniature. Yeah, it's
got a. Well,
look at a new Ford truck. Like a new Ford truck. Some of them are close to $100,000 now.
Ford's been pushing now to get like an F, like I don't know, 350 or 450. They want a $100,000.
You know how good that is for me though, because people. I told a guy roughly what a truck was going to cost. He wanted an F-100, and with all the modern technologies and this and that, and he didn't even blink. He was like, oh, that's pretty good. You can get a brand new, because the brand new ones are going for $100,000. I'd rather have this one. I'd rather spend my money on this.
Maxipan just sent me a note that said that Dexter Holland's Mustang went at Barrett Jackson in 2012.
Yeah, for 44.
I said 44,000.
Well, I talked to him right after.
I had no idea.
What'd you say, sell it?
No, I talked to him right after he sold it because Adam told me to give him a call and see if I could help him. But when I talked to him, he says, oh, man, I just sold it. He didn't tell me how much he sold it for. But
he didn't want to tell him how much he sold it for. He didn't want to tell his wife how much he sold. It's funny. I just guessed $44,000 or somewhere in that thing. But, yeah, I mean, those were the days when you would tie up $200,000 in a car
easily.
And it can't be done for any cheaper. It's just
no,
the amount of hours, the amount of labor, the
if
amount of parts, or whatever.
If you want it done right and nice
right.
looking.
And it's Barrett Jackson 44K. And so the question is like, who are you giving your money to and what are we talking about? Because I think if you went with a Singer Porsche or you went with Bodie Stroud or you went with the Ring Brothers, you went with Jonathan Ward, I think you can get your money back now and then some. But
I think so.
Yeah. I hope so.
Well, we know
that,
so.
I think that Scarliner would go for big money. I definitely think that the real thing Mustang with that
Super rare
engine.
I've always wanted to see one go across the auction
that's
block.
That's what we talk about all the time is it's like, you know, what is one of these race cars go for? And we're like, hopefully somebody else has a Paul Newman race car and gets, you know, $4 million at RM 1 year so we can get an idea.
Exactly.
But right now, it doesn't want to sell any, right? So, I do want to.
So you don't know.
I want to ask you about your chassis, but that you had over at SEMA. But first, let me tell you guys about Geico.
Yeah.
Everybody's got a to-do list. You know, you drop off your dry cleaning, you pick up some milk, and now you can save hundreds of dollars on car insurance to that list. And you don't have to pick up or drop off anything. You just go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes or less, you can be saving 15% or more on your car insurance. You know, so if you need some extra money in your pocket, this is the most rewarding to-do you do today. Go to geico.com.
All right, Geico.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right, let's bring it home. We'll ask about the chassis because I got to interview Bodie for our Take a Knee podcast.
Oh, man, I'm
as well.
Scared.
Motivation, Bodie. Just tell your story, man.
All right.
The chassis. Let's talk about that real quick.
Yeah, BSI Performance. I started that. I've been working for quite a long time now. Probably the last 6 years I've been working hard on this because and I think I've talked about this on the show before because I wasn't getting what I wanted from the people that are selling chassis out there. Mine are always different. And what it comes down to and what I figured it was ride height. Ride height, ground clearance, stance is what you fit your geometries to. Well, I didn't understand that 10 years ago when I started the business. I was just buying some competitor's front end IFS system, welding it on, and then I was going, God, why does this still ride like crap? Well, I slammed it, and I changed the geometry. So you've changed all that. So what I've worked on was finding like a middle ground, you know, selling a chassis the way I want it to stand, the stance I want, the ground clearance I want, track width, all the other stuff, how I want it to handle. You just figure out the geometries in there. And I've come up with my own chassis and suspension. I got a couple patents on things, and my Easy Align and my upper control arms makes it super easy with the weight of the vehicle on the ground to adjust camber caster. There's no other competitor out there that's doing it.
So you don't have to get it up on the hoist and hanging.
Exactly. You don't have to jack it up, take the tire off, undo the upper control arm hardware, guess at where you're at, put it back together, and find out that you're wrong, and do that 50 times.
Right.
Do you have chassis that are sort of turnkey for a particular make and model?
We do.
And then some are custom?
We do. And I'll do a little custom work. And that's what I was finding, too, is all of my competitors weren't doing any custom work. They're just like, oh, this is what you get. And it's like, well, I've always strived to make the customer happy. So if I can do minor changes, it's not a big deal.
So what chassis are you making?
Right now we're doing the 66 to 77 Bronco chassis, which is right out of the box. It's been a huge hit. That's what we had on display at SEMA. Yeah, there it is. Mm-hmm. And I've already sold that one plus two others. So that's huge for us. And then I sold the chassis behind it, the F100 chassis. We do 48 to 56. We do Chevy chassis, same thing. I think we're doing, 48 to 59 is the Chevy chassis. There's two different. You got your Gen 1 and your Gen 2. And then the Tri-5 chassis and we're doing more and more as we go.
So you can go to... Well, the website is BodieStroud.com, and BSI Performance is what you look for. Mm-hmm. Bodie, we're going to bring it home because we're going to do a little Take a Knee pod.
Yeah,
with you.
Yeah, cool. When you do Take a Knee, you got to ask about his daughter, who's a phenomenal singer, by the way.
Oh,
she's going to be huge.
Man.
Oh,
thank
all
you.
That
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah.
I got her. I downloaded her song. I listen to it on my iPod all the time.
The daughter with the album. The daughter with the Ghia?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
All right. So you can go to our website, carcastshow.com, look up all the pictures that we've been talking about, all the chassis and all the engines and all the stuff we've been talking about. Just go to the website and look it up. Follow Matt at Motorator, if you will.
Thank you. You can
go to Chassis, two S's and a Y, and take a look at our movies, 24-Hour War, Winning Race, and Paul Newman. We got a lot of good stuff there. And then there's Shift and Steer as well. That's Matt's pod at Podcast One. And then we got a live show at the Ice House coming up with Mark Garagus and Brad Williams. That is going to be a lot of comedy. And that's Tuesday, November 21st. Till next time, Adam Kroll for Bodie Stroud and Matt, the moderator, DeAndrea, saying keep the air in the spare and the bag in the wheel.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CarCast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on CarCastShow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit CarCastShow.com.
Yep, that's who you think it is. The Grimace mug. The Hello Kitty keychain. Barbie herself. For a limited time, your favorite McDonald's collectibles filled with memories and magic are now on collectible cups. Get one of six when you order a collector's meal at McDonald's with your choice of a Big Mac or 10-piece McNuggets. Come get your cup while you still can. At participating McDonald's for a limited time while supplies last.